This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
We just need a strategy, okay?
Okay, here's the plan.
New information, research on that Russian dossier that came out about Trump. We go there now on Tactics.
Brakes are on fire from trying to slow down. I'm always burning my tires and my horn is too loud. I catch people staring, looking funny at me when I step to the window and I toss a TV.
Welcome in, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers. If you want to weigh in, don't forget you can always tweet us at Tactics Radio. Sometimes we read tweets on the air. Love to get feedback, whichever way is convenient for you, because that's what we're all about, getting the listeners in on the show. So, new information coming out, very, very big news about the Russian dossier. You'll remember that that dossier that came out about Trump, it was the one that was about Trump having sex with Russian prostitutes and having them urinate on a bed because Barack Obama. I mean, just ridiculous beyond ridiculous stuff that never happened. Not an ounce of truth to it. They said even when they reported it and came out with it that most of the stuff in it they knew was not true because it had inconsistency, not something that was reliable even when we first found out about it. So that whole thing's back now because it's in the news. New information has resurfaced on this. Now, remember that Russia produced this thing. This is done specifically from the Russian government. They were involved in putting together the opposition research that was supposed to be used against Donald Trump in the campaign. It was from a British intelligence agent that picked up on it, and because of him, we learned about it. You'll remember that BuzzFeed made a big deal about it. It was one of their big stories of the year that BuzzFeed came out and said, well, this is what's going on, and they not only published the fact that it existed, but published the sensationalized details of it. Responsible news organizations did not. To CNN's credit, they talked about it existing, but they didn't talk about what was actually in it, which was the right thing to do. We can talk about it now just because it's in the public sphere, and you can't put that genie back in the bottle. But the point is, this whole thing was supposed to be the thing that was going to derail the Trump campaign, showed collusion between them and the Russians. It was initially started by a Republican. We still have no idea who that Republican was, one of the opposition in the campaign, who was using Fusion GPS, which is a law firm, to help bankroll this opposition research. The Russians were involved with it. And then later, here's the new information that we have on it. It was started by Republican opposition, but then it changed hands. And who did it change hands to? The Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. So they were the ones paying for this, putting it together, having the information assembled, and then putting it out there. So it wasn't just sanctioned by the Russians, but also the Clinton campaign and the DNC were directly involved, which we're finding out now. They were the ones footing the bill for the research to be done. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm going to give you just a few seconds here to come off of the shock that they would be involved in something like this. Okay, that's enough time. Now, when you're looking at this, it turns out that this is the same dossier, and we've actually known this for a little while. This isn't new information. But it turns out that the FBI used this dossier as a reason to kick off the Trump investigation. That's not new information, but the fact that we have this new information now paints that in a different light. Maybe if it's started by a Republican and the Russians are involved in it, this gives some credence to it. But now that we know that the DNC was the one funding it in the first place, it's kind of like finding out, I don't know a great way to give an analogy, but I'm going to do the best I can here. It would be almost like, since we're in football season right now, you found out that there was a scandal, and the research for that scandal that was going on at the University of Alabama was started by somebody at Auburn. Well, it's hard to take that seriously because they have a vested interest in their opponents not being up to snuff. And so the fact that this is now being used against the Trump administration, when the Trump, or it was initially used against the Trump administration to justify the FBI investigation, that is incredibly problematic because it takes away, it was the person that was benefiting most from this, benefiting most from Trump being under FBI investigation, who started the information that was used to justify getting that investigation kicked off in the first place. So it was the DNC that said, we need something to use against Trump. And then the DNC apparently presenting this to the FBI, yeah, you should investigate Trump. And the FBI went along with it, who, by the way, was run by a Democrat at the time. Because ultimately, the FBI, yes, it's run by individuals and their department heads, but ultimately, it, like every other branch of the, or every other little subsidiary of the executive branch, is run by the President of the United States, who at the time was actively campaigning against the man who this dossier is about. Now, you guys know I've never been a Trump apologist. I'm not really a Trump fan, but this is absolutely as dirty as it gets when it comes to politics. And here's what I want to know. Because keep in mind, this was the catalyst that began the FBI investigation. Did the FBI use this to obtain the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign? See, because now all of a sudden that takes on new meaning if we know that it was Hillary Clinton and the DNC that was behind it. Because now you've got people in the campaign running against Donald Trump coming up with material that's used to justify an investigation against Donald Trump, which also allows them to get information directly from the campaign run by Donald Trump. It's an excuse for a Democrat presidency that is running against the Trump campaign to get information that other people wouldn't normally have about their opposition. If that's the case, and that's how the FISA warrant was put into place, I think you need to go after the FBI. Seriously, that could be, I mean, if that's what's going on, there needs to be an investigation on the FBI on how they handled it. And thankfully, Trey Gowdy read my mind. He's already launched that. So this stinks to high heaven. This is corruption on every level, and it's always, it keeps circling back to the same people, which is the DNC and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Because you have the same people that are directly benefit from Trump being under investigation. They now have a way to get info on him, and they now have it in the public sphere that he's under FBI investigation. And they're the ones that started the whole thing. Now, I was always the guy, and I do not regret this because I had to go on the information that I had at the time. This is just now coming out today. I was always the guy that saw these as connected, but only connected through circumstance. Now we know that the whole thing was manufactured from beginning to end by the DNC. And the whole thing was done specifically to take down the biggest obstacle to Hillary Clinton getting into the White House. And here's another interesting little tidbit. It goes even further than that. Fusion GPS, the law firm that did the opposition research in the first place, was also hired by another law firm who was represented by the Russians, by the Russian lawyer that met with Donald Trump Jr. So even the big smoking gun that Donald Trump Jr. was colluding with the Russians, now it was still stupid, he still shouldn't have done it, I'm not excusing it, but at the same time, even she's connected to the same people that started the investigation in the first place. This whole thing is manufactured from beginning to end. And it's all done by the same people. Good gracious. So now, any semblance of legitimacy to the Donald Trump collusion, and I never believed that Donald Trump personally colluded anyway, even though I don't really like Donald Trump all that much. I thought that he, you know, bad policies, not a good president, but at the same time, still not colluding with the Russians. But now we know, even the big piece of evidence they had that proved collusion was a setup from the beginning. And it was all done and bankrolled by the DNC. I gotta tell you, any credibility that ever existed with this investigation being legitimate is now not only been shattered, but now it's been boomeranged back at the Clintons. You couldn't write this more perfectly to destroy the narrative of the Trump investigation now. And we'll talk about why when we come back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. John Quincy Adams.
Welcome back. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and News Radio 1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. And we actually do have a response on Twitter. You can tweet us at Tactics Radio. Persisting Patriot, a constant tweeter when it comes to tactics. He says, if responsible news organizations purposely pass along unsubstantiated news to unresponsible outlets, that doesn't make sense. Well, what they were doing is, originally CNN's report, now since then this is broken and, you know, everything's been out in the open, which is why I felt comfortable saying it on the air, because now everybody knows about it. But originally, in CNN's initial report that they did with Jake Tapper, they didn't release any of the details. They just said that the dossier exists and we want to know why the Russians were gathering opposition research on Donald Trump. That is a legitimate news story. The fact that the Russians, regardless of who it was, were putting together information trying to hurt one of our political candidates, that is a news story. And it makes sense for them to report that, which they did report that. They just didn't report what was in it or any of that stuff. So that, you know, I think CNN handled that correctly. Now, did they always handle coverage of Donald Trump correctly? No, not even close. But they did handle that one particular story correctly. But anyway, so that's just, if anybody was unclear on that, that's why I was bringing that up. All right, let's go a little further in that, because that's rehashing old news, though. Joe and I were actually talking during the break about, he was saying, if I had to debate you, I don't know that there would be a leg to stand on how completely, you know, circular this whole thing is, that it always seems to go back to the DNC. And
did
I said,
I say that?
Right, and
no,
I really did. Yeah, and so I responded, I said, Joe, if you were to do that, I said, I think, you know, even me being a national debate champion, I think our roles could reverse, and I'd have to be the one defending the DNC, and you would destroy me in a debate because there just is not any good information on the opposite side of this argument.
Yeah, and that's the name of that tune, as they say. Yeah, it boggles my mind. I mean, this is not the only time that it boggles my mind. Well, people try to circumvent the system, mm-hmm. and you think, what are they thinking? How could they think they'll get away with it, let alone, you know, it's not a moral thing to do, but even so, if you have a moral compass, still, how am I going to get away with this?
Well, now think about it. I'm glad that they didn't get away with it, but they did get away with it for almost a year. And had it not been for us just happening to find documents from Fusion GPS, had we not just been able to stumble across those, they may have gotten away with it.
Well, when I say getting away with it, I mean, I don't mean completing the task as much as I mean, how did they think they weren't going to get caught?
Right. And I'm just saying we may have never known this if we hadn't stumbled across this one little ledger based on Fusion GPS and the law firm that was funding that in the first place. They did get away with it for about a year. So it's really just happenstance, which I'm glad that it came out the way that it did. That this was, we found out that this was actually what was going on. It's actually funny talking about the whole debating one side or the other. I was watching CNN this morning, and they had it wasn't the morning show, so it was after Chris Cuomo. They had that other guy whose name I can never remember in Poppy Harlow. And they had a Clinton spokesman, and then they had the Clinton spokesman, and then they also had a Donald Trump spokesman, which was hilarious because the Donald Trump spokesman was just eating the guy's lunch. I mean, it helps to have truth on your side in a debate, but was just eating the guy's lunch. And the other guy, the person that from the Clinton camp, he was just chuckling and going like, you can repeat the Fox talking points if you want to. And I mean, it was just embarrassing. You don't have to be a debate champion to look at it and go, man, he creamed that guy. If you're a Seinfeld fan, you know this. It's kind of like the whole George Costanza thing where he was talking about he was trying to get fired from his old job. He says, I want people to look at me and go, wow, that guy got canned. That was kind of my sentiment this morning when it came to the watching the Clinton people try to come out and defend this. But it is almost as though the Clintons are incapable of not getting into new scandals. They've had two new ones this week. This one and the one we were talking about 2 days ago with having the Russian spy trying to infiltrate their inner circle when she was at the State Department. Here's the question, though, and this is what I want to know. Is an apple still an apple? Will the news organizations like CNN, are they going to continue to cover this? Because they always said, no, it's not about Trump. It's about the Russians getting involved in our election system, and that's wrong. We're not doing it to push a narrative. Well, if that's true, then they need to still be talking about it today like they were back when they thought it was going to help Hillary Clinton get elected. Let's watch CNN, MSNBC, all the ABC news organizations. And if they cover this and talk about it and make a point to say, see how the Clintons were corrupt in this, maybe they have a little bit of credibility on that. But I rather doubt it. Rush is coming up.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.
Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440. And NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in, and we are going to jump to the phones here in just a second. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Owen on line one. Good morning.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Are you a new caller?
No, it's just about the second time I've called.
I got you.
But I'd like to make a comment and then ask a question.
Yes, sir.
It is obvious, sir, that the Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign never in their wildest imagination imagined Donald Trump winning the presidency. So all of this stuff about the dossier was never meant to come to light because they were planning on controlling the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
And they would always bury this information. The public would never know about it if the Democrats had won the election. And my question to you, sir, is do you think that the Republicans and some of the good Democrats, if there is such a thing, will force an end to this fake Russia investigation?
You know,
and insist on a special counsel to investigate the crimes that are so obvious with the Clinton administration.
You know, I'm not sure, but here's what I think is going to happen right now. Because really the Republicans have two options. They can either nix the investigation or they can let it run its course. I think strategically, because based on all the information we're seeing, there's just absolutely nothing to it. I think that strategically the smartest thing for them to do would be to let it run its course, come back with the findings, and when they've got nothing, which it looks like they're never going to find anything of any real substance, just say, see, we're all free and clear, and then let's move on. I think that would be strategically the smartest thing to do. instead of just nixing it, because nixing it makes it look like you have something to hide when, based on everything we know, they don't. So I think the smartest thing to do would be for them to just let it run its course and then get it over with. I don't know if they're ever going to go after the people in the Justice Department that apparently were complicit in all this, but Trey Gowdy has already launched an investigation to it, and I hope that it goes well, because if we find out that the FBI was actually playing for one team or the other, that needs to stop right now, because that's dangerous regardless of who's in the White House.
Well, I'm just afraid that someone, if you allow this fake investigation to go forward, you know, it's just a fishing expedition, really, though, to try to capture somebody on a process crime like they did Scooter Libby or something like that. You know, that's my worry, is that they're going to just put somebody in jail on a process crime.
Well, you know, Owen, that is a legitimate concern, and thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that question. That's a legitimate concern. I understand that there's some hesitancy with that. But I don't know. It just, based on this, it doesn't look like there's any there. And so I think you let it run its course. Again, I don't think that at this point, I was always the one that said the Republicans should let the investigation go forward. They shouldn't, you know, snuff it out. I don't think there's anything left there. I think if they snuffed it out, they could get away with it. But I just think for the optics of the situation, it would be wiser for them to just let it run its course, and then come back and say, essentially, yeah, we've got nothing, and then let's move on. And if they do find something, which I don't know that they would at this point, you know, if some intern somewhere was trying to collude with the Russians or something, say, yeah, okay, slap them on the wrist, and then we're good. So I don't think this is going to be something that in any way has any teeth or any ability to hurt the Trump administration at this point anymore. That's just my opinion, but I don't think even if the investigation goes through, knowing what we know now, that there would be any ability for them to harm the Trump administration or stop the agenda where it comes to trying to get something done, because they've been trying for impeachment. This doesn't even come near the level of impeachment. So I don't see this really hurting the Trump administration anymore now. It's basically benign. I did want to talk about a couple other stories, and thanks, Owen, for your call. And be sure to, if anybody else wants to call in and talk about this, that's fine. But I did want to get to this other story, which I thought was fascinating in the way that it was done and presented, and I think that you'll see why very quickly. Headline, the Associated Press. In response to far right, LGBTQ gun group hits the firing lane. Laura McSpadden, never touched a gun before, the trigger warning queer and trans gun club started this past year. Now McSpadden is among the shooters routinely yelling pull and blasting clay pigeons angling over a mowed field in Rochester. Trigger warning members are anxious about armed organizations of extremists who seem increasingly emboldened in their response as a touch of symmetry to it. They started a club to teach members how to take up arms. It's a way to assert our strength, said Jake Allen, 27, who helped form the group. Often queer people are thought of as being weak, as being defenseless, and I think that in many ways this pushes back against that. And I want white supremacists and neo-Nazis to know that queer people are taking steps necessary to protect themselves. Trigger warning members meet once a month to shoot still targets and saucer-shaped pigeons. The 18 dues-paying members are all LGBTQ, many of them just now learning about guns. I identified as a pacifist and really thought that most of my life, said McSpadden, 37, who has attended a self-defense seminar and now owns a 20-gauge shotgun. On a recent evening, their instructor showed novices how to pull a .22 caliber rifle snugly into their shoulder and how to aim it slightly ahead of a moving target. Members cheered when the shooter shattered a pigeon and hit a bullseye. The light mood belies apprehension that led to the group's creation this past winter amid a year marked by politically tinged violence, ranging from scuffles at protest to a violent clash of white supremacists and counter-protesters in Charlottesville, Virginia. Let's skip ahead just a little bit. There it is. The National African American Gun Association gained 500 new members within the past 2 days in Charlottesville. Associated President Phil Smith said the group went from 4 chapters to 45 in the past year. The Liberal Gun Club, a national organization, has been seeing its paid membership roughly double since the election, from about 5,500. And Laura Smith said the group has grown its California chapter. So how shall I respond to this?
I looked up. I was doing something else. And I said, are you still cheering about the World Series?
No.
I know. I just, anyway,
that, I considered it. But my point on all this is I don't care that they're gay. They still have a right to own guns. Doesn't bother me. I've been consistent on that from the beginning. It doesn't matter who the victim is. If there is a group of people that feel that they are being victimized, if they feel that they need protection for self-defense for whatever reason, that's okay. If you have women that you're afraid of rape culture and you think that there's a rape culture on campus, and we've debunked that myth, but regardless, if that's what you feel is something, and I've never been against women being able to carry for protection because it's a great equalizer, it helps them stand up to a man that normally they would never have a chance against physically. I mean, if you're a 5-0, 100-pound woman and a 250-pound, 6-foot-5 guy comes up, you don't have much for prayer unless you have a gun. And so if you have women that are being victimized, you arm the women. If you have gay people that are being bullied, you arm the gays. If you have black people that are being victimized by hate groups or whatever, you arm the black people. If you've got Jewish people that are being harassed by neo-Nazis, arm the Jews. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter whether I agree with the person politically or not. If they want guns, that's why we have a Second Amendment. It's not the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed for white conservative evangelicals. That's not how the amendment reads. It's for everybody. So I applaud them for getting guns and empowering themselves. I don't see what the issue is here. When it comes to guns, victims who are armed typically don't stay victims very long because you have a weapon to defend yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that nothing can ever happen to you. It doesn't make you immortal or anything like that. But the point is, you feel empowered, you feel safer, it's a sense of security, and it is your right as an American to do so. I love that liberals, you know, they think that they have them, and I've had someone do something similar to this, but I'll use a celebrity example here. Sarah Silverman, who's uber left, big Clinton supporter, said in a routine one time in a comedy bit, basically, oh yeah, conservatives, well, what if we gave black people guns? And I was sitting there like, yeah, give black people guns. I know black people that shoot. Doesn't bother me. I don't know why she would assume that I had a problem with that. In fact, that was the origin of American gun control. Why was gun control started in America? Because the Klan and the Democrat Party wanted to keep black people from having guns so they couldn't defend themselves. You can look that up. In fact, in Memphis, the people in Memphis, the racist organizations there that were running the city, wanted to keep Martin Luther King from being able to carry a gun while he was in Memphis. This is all historically documented. That's the origin of gun control in America. That was our first gun control law, was trying to keep people, keep black people from owning guns so they could defend themselves against the Klan. It doesn't matter what I think about it, even if I had a problem with it. Let's just say, theoretically, I was horribly inconsistent, I was a terrible person, and I believe that the Second Amendment was only for white people. You know, white people that happened to vote Republican, I guess. Let's just say that was the case. Doesn't matter. It's the Second Amendment. They still have the right. I can't do a thing about it. Now, I don't want to, but I'm saying even if I did, it wouldn't matter. See, that's what's so great about the Second Amendment. That's what's great about rights in general. Those rights are for everybody. First Amendment, it's for speech I like and for speech I don't. The Second Amendment, it's for people having guns regardless of where they fall politically. You know, you can go down the line. Right to privacy, right to property, yeah, that's for everybody. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. They have that right, and the government should always work to preserve that right regardless of how anybody feels about it. And that's a stance that I've maintained since the beginning. So there is one problem I do have with the story. It has nothing to do with gun ownership, but we'll get to that when we come back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
To the distinguished character of Patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian, George Washington.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and the News Radio 1440 app. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. Let's go to HT on line one. Good morning, HT. HT, are you there? Going once? Going twice?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there we go. Hey, what's on your mind, HT? HT?
Yes, this is HT.
Yes, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I agreed with your comment that you made about the risk if the Republicans or conservatives try to cut off the Mueller investigation at the moment. It'll certainly look bad. I think you're right on with that.
Thank
However,
you.
I don't know that there's an answer to this, but that probe was set up, unfortunately, to be totally open-ended. And you can bet when you've got, I think, what's the count, 23 liberal lawyers digging into everything that Trump's done or have been connected with, apart from the Russian probe. You know, I'm a God-fearing person, but I would hate to have 23 liberal lawyers digging into my past.
You and me both, brother.
Because you can bet they're going to find something that doesn't look good and that's going to be political hay made out of it. I don't know what can be done about it at this point, but I think this is going to be a real risk because I think that the liberal elements are using this as an opportunity to try to cut Trump loose from his base, to demonize him, marginalize him, and then launch some type of impeachment proceedings.
You know, I got to say, I understand this concern, and I'm totally on board with the reason. I think that there's a level of risk assessment, and the reason that I said I think it was smarter, personally, for the just let the investigation go through is because, based on what I'm seeing, and maybe I've got this wrong, but based on what I'm seeing, there is so little to go on that I don't think that even a team of 23 liberal lawyers could find anything on it based on this. I mean, it's all going back to the DNC over and over again. And so here's the rub that they have. If they go after Trump for this, they have to also go after Hillary Clinton and the DNC if this is the starting point, the evidence that they're going to use to say that there was Russian collusion. And so that's the sticky wicket that they found themselves in, is that anything they now try to do to the Trump administration, they have to also go after the people involved with creating the dossier, which would include Hillary Rodham Clinton, her campaign, and the DNC itself. And so I think that you have kind of a safety net there that's going to protect them from doing it. That's why I think that it's now I think it's actually very low risk for the Trump administration to just let it go. Maybe that's just me being overly optimistic. I don't know, and I understand that concern, but that would be the strategy that I would pursue going forward.
Well, I think you made some good points there, and I think the facts, of course, are on your side. But unfortunately, we're on shifting sand here because the charter for this investigation is totally open-ended and does not have to be restricted to the Russian affair, which appears increasingly has little or no merit to it. But they're going to go into his business dealings. They're going to go into his taxes. They're going to go into everything, Lord only knows what. And with the conspiracy of the media assisting them, whatever they find, and Lord knows they'll find something. Everybody has something in their past.
Well, now
they're going to beat this thing until the cow hollers.
Well, here's the thing, HT, and I do appreciate your call. It's not completely open-ended. It's open-ended in the sense that they're allowed to look at pretty much everything. But what I'm saying is they're not, even if they're allowed to look into everything, they're not allowed to bring back anything. So in other words, if you look into, and there's like some discrepancy with Trump's taxes in 1985 or something like that, Now, that may be a problem, but it has nothing to do with the investigation. So even though they're allowed to look at it, they're not allowed to come back to the American people legally. They'll get in legal trouble if this happens and say, yeah, nothing on Russia, but he's got some tax problems back in 1985. So even if that were the case, they still can't bring it back and legally do anything about it. And that's why I say that it's low risk at this point. But, you know, that's how it goes. And I will say this, one last thing on the whole gay gun club, which we were talking about right before that call. Even if I did have a issue with the gays arming themselves, it wouldn't matter because they have a right to do it. That is what makes it a constitutional right. And I want to ask this question. How do you think the media would have reacted to a Tea Party organization getting together because they were afraid of, like, I don't know, Black Lives Matter or something like that? I'm guessing you would not get the glowing, ringing endorsement of the Associated Press that we saw in this article. And that is some media hypocrisy. Hour 2 coming up.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11. Only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.
Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. It is Thursday, and you know what that means. It's time for Upon Further Review.
After review, we're rooting on the field.
If you can talk sports, you can talk with any guy in the world.
When sports and politics meet, it deserves a second look.
After further review, the player disqualification is reversed.
Here with the ruling, it's Caleb Colquitt and Sports Radio 740's Joe Hunk with Upon Further Review.
Hey, Joe, welcome into the studio.
How's it going, man?
I am doing good. I got to tell you, though, I'm a little sleepy.
Who isn't sleepy?
Aren't we all?
Here's what's bad. Here's what's great. I mean, again, okay, so everybody and anybody that's listening, obviously, that's listening on the Fallout knows that I have a beautiful wife that, but at the same time, she's not really a fan of me staying up extremely late. So last night, the way that I help myself stay up through some of these late baseball games is I play video games. I have the TV on, and then I have a computer monitor beside it, and I'm playing video games to kind of keep me awake so that I'm, you know, so that I can stay awake during all these games. Because if I lay on the couch, I'm done. Well, it was one of those nights where she's like, "You're not playing games tonight. You're going to bed early." I'm like, "Crap!" Oh.
But it's the World Series.
Okay, fine. Well, she doesn't care because the Cubs are out, so she doesn't care. Yeah. The Giants are not in. She's a fan of those. Neither one of those are in. So, and it's the Dodgers, so she hates the Dodgers.
But you're a Dodger fan, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I love Dodger Stadium. I went there last summer, and a matter of fact, I went there last summer to watch Dodgers and Diamondbacks. So I basically saw the NLDS before the NLDS. But I went there. It is seriously one of the most gorgeous stadiums in the world, just because of its historical value. It was one of the very first, like I'd say, cookie cutter. It was one of the very first ones that had huge parking lots and all that other stuff.
And multi decks, five
multi decks. It's very hard to get to each individual level. Like, you know how we are sometimes, we're like, ah, well, hey, I got a ticket up there, but that seat's available. Let's go down there and do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can do that at SunTrust now. It's not that hard, but you can do it at SunTrust at the new stadium. But there, it's almost impossible because the way the design is and trying to get in and out, because they designed it just differently. I mean, it's just differently. What's funny is they designed Dodger Stadium and built it, I want to say, either a year before or the same year that they built Angel Stadium, because they came into the league around, or they moved both one to LA and they moved became the Anaheim Angels roughly around the exact same time. Angel Stadium is horrible. It's hideous.
I'm thinking they built Dodger Stadium first.
I think it was Dodger Stadium first, and then the Angel Stadium came right after it, but Angel Stadium is a dump. I don't care what anybody ever looks at it. It's gotten built up, but it's butt ugly on the outside. The inside's beautiful, but the outside it's a dump. But Dodger Stadium,
Stadium, because a lot of people are watching it really for the first time last night, because they don't really watch the Dodgers all that much. We don't get that a lot here in Alabama. But oh my gosh, that was one of the best postseason games I've ever seen.
It's a game like this that people that do not or say baseball is boring need to watch.
Yep.
Like, that's what they need to watch.
Every single pitch was intense.
Look, and you know, and I know that you just had Scott on a few seconds ago, and him and I were, you know, talking in the hallway, and we were talking about, you know, you play about 160 games that really don't matter. I mean, about 120 of them are just kind of getting you in the position. Mm-hmm. Then you get to that last month of the season, and then you start kind of feeling it in your gut a little bit. You start feeling the tenseness in your chest. But then when you get to October, or if you're like the Biscuits and you get to the playoffs, I will never in my life ever forget how many games I worked with the Biscuits throughout the regular season and then how that game three felt over in Riverwalk Stadium. Mm-hmm. It wasn't I need to get the crowd hyped up because I was on the field doing a lot of the MC stuff. It was a more of a let's go, let's get loud, let's get ourselves a dub so that we can be back in this mm-hmm. tournament. Like, it was one of those. It was, hey, it's a series is tied, let's take the lead, let's get back to Chattanooga. And it was literally when you hear the phrase cut the tension with a knife, mm-hmm. that is exactly how it felt at Riverwalk.
Right.
To be in Dodger Stadium last night and have all those things happening, the thing is,
the first half of that game felt like it was going to be one of those boring baseball games.
Yeah, it was one run from each team. The Astros got up early. The Dodgers tied it with a home run. Then you had a two-run homer to take the lead. You bring in your closer. I mean, this was setting up perfectly for what a Dodgers W looks like throughout the entire regular season.
The blueprint.
And then you've got Houston come in, and they're tenacious. They're a great offensive team.
A C&I single is what got them to 3-2, and then you come up in a situation. This is what's so crazy. You get to a part where you have a bunch of young players, and regardless as about this Astro team, what you want to think, Jose Altuve, you have George Springer. You can look even Evan Gattis. As much as we loved him for the Braves, these guys have never played in pressure situations, mm-hmm. and pressure situations of this magnitude. And beginning of the game, the Dodgers looked like the team that had been there before, even though they hadn't since 1988. And the Astros looked like a bunch of kids that were going, oh, my God, I can't believe we're here. And the 8th through 11th inning just almost saved this series for the Astros because you saw those kids grow up right there. Jose mm-hmm. Altuve couldn't hit a high fastball to save his life.
And that's what happens sometimes.
Until the extra innings.
And that's what happens with pressure sometimes. Yeah. You have to rise to the occasion.
Exactly.
That's how baseball is.
Yeah, it's diamond or dust.
And who would have believed? This is the fantasy part. The best relief pitcher on the planet never gives up a home run.
No, Jose. Yeah, no. But, Kenley Jansen never gives up a home run.
Of all the people to give up a home run, I was watching the Twilight Zone reruns and watching, strangely enough, and it was a Twilight Zone moment.
Yeah.
It was. I had just about ready to. I had the remote in my hand, ready to click it off.
No, it was amazing moment. And to go through that, to go through the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, and I was dozing in and out. It was so hard to stay awake just because I was taking naps during commercial breaks. That's exactly what I was taking naps during commercial breaks. It was so much. It was seriously one of those where I cannot believe what happened last night and the fact that it was only game two and we get to go at it again tomorrow night.
This is setting up to be a phenomenal series if it's anything like the first two games, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Looks like we have a caller on line one. Let's go to Soldier Boy. Hey, Soldier Boy, good to hear from you again.
Long time no hear.
Yeah, what's on your mind today?
Got a question. I am so sick and tired of professional sports. Let me ask you a question. You've been watching the World Series, correct, both games?
Yes.
Yes.
Has anybody been taking a knee during the national anthem?
No.
No.
Everybody's been standing.
Like, everybody says no.
Because I would have noticed
Are you surprised?
Not really. Baseball.
Or do you think the word got out? Hey, you do this, we're not going to have a World Series.
No, I don't know if it's so much that. I think that it's just, for whatever reason, it's less popular in baseball. It's just not something. It wasn't really popular in football until what happened with Donald Trump. And so you had like maybe a dozen, maybe two dozen, being uber generous there, of players that would actually, you know, kneel in the NFL. Donald Trump just made it into a big thing, and then it kind of exploded.
Hey,
but if you're looking
don't be dogging my president now. Don't make me come over there, Caleb.
I'm, you know, whether you agree with him or not, I agree with what he said.
If you hit my president, I'll come back and I'll hit you twice as hard.
Look, I'm saying I agreed with what he said.
And my fists are huge. They're huge.
They're huge. But it was not smart of him to escalate the situation by saying that, because then you had like hundreds of people kneeling. But the thing is, with baseball, it's it's a more patriotic sport.
Well, no, for me, what I say, the reason why they don't do it in baseball is because a lot of the players that play Major League Baseball are thankful to be in this country.
They're immigrants.
They're thankful to be in. Again, I go back to Yasiel Puig. People can bash
him. Dominican Republic. Yeah, Cuba.
I mean, again, Yasiel Puig, if you don't know his story, that man escaped from Cuba and literally walked through swamps filled with alligators just to get to America so that he could play baseball. He's not going to kneel because he's thankful not to be in Cuba. So, I mean, that's the reason why they don't kneel, is because they're so thankful to be in this country that they love this country.
And that's one thing that kills me.
30% of our players, aren't they, from South America?
Oh, yeah. A lot of players are from the Dominican Republic, South America, Mexico. You look at Puerto Rico. You look look at the WBC. I mean, the Dominican Republic, in all reality, should have won the WBC because of how stacked they were with Major League talent. Because all of our best players come from those countries.
And, Soldier Boy, you're going to go along with me on this, I'm sure. People say that, Trump voters are racist and hate immigrants. I don't know about you, Soldier Boy, but I think you're going to agree with me on this. I like a lot of immigrants more than I like a lot of people that were born here because they have an appreciation for America.
Well, and especially in my case, I'm a naturalized citizen.
Right.
I was adopted in a German orphanage. My dad was an Air Force officer. And, I got brought into this country and I was naturalized and everything. And my mom went through Ellis Island. And she, during the Olympics when the German national team won the gold medal in 72, Munich Olympics, she was cheering for the Americans.
That's awesome.
My mom's all on board. She's not a European or a German-American. She says she's proud to be an American because I think what she went through in World War II, you really appreciate what we have. I went through Checkpoint Charlie when I was stationed in Germany, in Frankfurt. And I tell you, you don't know what... The people that are bitching and complaining are the ones that don't have any skin in the game. And I remember a famous Democrat said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call, Soldier Boy.
Yeah,
now,
I
am going to have to take issue with you, Soldier Boy. You can't use that language on the air. If you use it again, I'm going to ban you. So I'm serious about that. I appreciate your call. I agree with what you're saying, but you can't say that on my airwaves. I know that it's not an FCC violation. That's my personal standard. But I had to cut you off because of that. But anyway, so no, I 100% agree. You can say to somebody and be 100% consistent saying this, that I appreciate being in this country, that I appreciate immigrants, that I appreciate the immigration process, and I want them to be a part of our culture, and also say, but I also want strong border security, and I want immigration laws to be enforced.
Yeah,
that's part of being an American. That's part of being somebody that says, yes, come to this country, share your culture with us, but we have a rule of law, and we expect you to follow it.
No, what I appreciate, and that's what I appreciate about the game is, honestly, and I think it's because another reason I do love baseball so much is when they did the player introductions, the national anthems, there was never even a thought in my mind of, oh, God, is somebody going to kneel?
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, is this going to happen? Because, again, you go back to so many players that are on both teams that, we talked over on 740 about how 11 of the 80 players on their 40-man rosters actually came from the SEC. And then you start to look, and six of those players that are actually on the 25-man roster came from the SEC, and we start looking at it that way. But if you start to look at how many of these guys, again, we mentioned this guy, and I mentioned him just a few minutes ago, go and look at Jose Altuve's story. Learn about Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm. And when you see where he was playing baseball growing up and the things that he was doing for mitts and for cleats and for what his parents were going through, please watch that and then tell me how bad this country really is. Because I guarantee you, anybody that wants to complain about the way that this country is treating any race, regardless as to what it is, I would love for you to go down and spend a year in Cuba. Go down and spend a year in Cuba while you have guys like Aroldis Chapman and Yasiel Puig basically risking their life just to get here so they can play baseball.
Is there anything more indicative of the American spirit than a kid growing up in tyranny who risked his life to escape that, comes to America, makes it big, playing America's pastime,
yeah,
and becomes a success story.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what America is all about.
And that's the part about this that is beautiful, is seeing that, you know, we may not all speak the same language. There's some guys that are on those teams that do not speak a lick of English. But they know what a strike is, and they know what an out is, and they know what a run is, and they know what RBIs and Ks are, and everybody across the world does. I guarantee you, you could go right now and go watch a baseball game in Japan at the Tokyo Dome, which I would love to do.
Oh, but we got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. Right, yeah. I guarantee we may not share the same language, but I promise you, we all know what's going on. We all know every single thing that's happening on that ball field. We all know what three outs do. It ends the inning. We all know how many runs it takes to win a ball game. We all know what a save is. We all know what a club. I mean, we all know all this stuff. We may not call them by the same words, but baseball literally can unite the entire world because almost the entire world plays it. It's almost like soccer. Now, soccer's everybody plays it. We suck at it, but yeah, we play it.
True.
But baseball, and again, look at the WBC. That's why I love the WBC at the beginning, because you have so many countries that come together to try to even, A, make it into the tournament, and then, B, just get as far as they did. If you want to see action, go back on YouTube and watch Puerto Rico play the U.S. in San Diego. That was one of the most amazing baseball games that I've ever seen. I mean, seriously. But that catch that Adam Jones made is just – it literally, when we go throughout the whole season and we look at everything that happened in baseball, Adam Jones making that catch for Team USA at the very beginning, not even the – it was in the beginning, it's the preseason. Having that, it's awesome. It's amazing. Yep.
Now, although I will say this, there is a baseball player that does kneel for the national anthem, and he's in a little bit of hot water right now. We're going to tell you that story when we come back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Governments could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and the Lord of all the earth, General John Dickinson, signer of the Constitution.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to call in. You can also tweet us at Tactics Radio. We're back with Joe Hunk with more Upon Further Review, and I had to bring this story up. It's a local story. Apparently, this happened in Huntsville, and the catcher is from this area. The catcher for the Oakland A's, Bruce Maxwell, is someone who does kneel for the national anthem.
Like the only one.
Right,
kneels.
The only major league player, I think.
What was his name?
Bruce Maxwell.
Bruce Maxwell.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he's a catcher. Yeah, he's a catcher for the A's.
Right, and so he's doing this interview with TMZ. And in this interview, he says that he's been persecuted because of this, because he was refused service by a waiter in Huntsville because he didn't stand for the anthem, and he was being targeted for all this. The thing is, though, luckily, the local TV affiliate, they found the waiter. The guy's name is Matthew Henry, and he says that this was, quote, an absolute lie. He did refuse to serve beer to one guy that was in Maxwell's party, but it was because he had an invalid ID. And this is a direct quote from him. I would like a public apology from Mr. Bruce Maxwell. And I would like for all of the folks, one for all of the folks that I work with. He represents Huntsville, Alabama, whether he likes it or not. And we're not the kind of people who would do that kind of thing.
Well, and to go back to the part of where he was refused service because of that, I don't know. Again, I grew up in Huntsville. A third of Huntsville, the actual city, if the city had all of its limits and did not have the Redstone Arsenal, mm-hmm, it would probably be bigger than Birmingham.
Probably.
I mean, because of its mass. A third of that city is just taken up by the Redstone Arsenal itself. It is a massive, massive military city.
Uh-huh.
If you do anything against the military in Huntsville, you're going to be looked down on. I don't care who it is.
It's kind of like it is here, not to that degree, but yeah, with Maxwell and Gunner.
The amount of Marines, as well as Army officers and even members of the Navy that I have done events with in the Huntsville area, if he wanted to refuse some service just because of that alone, I'd be okay with it. Because
honestly,
of what that
too
city is. Because of how much the military means to that city. Because regardless as to what he wants to say and what any other person wants to say about kneeling or sitting down, which, by the way, how lazy is your protest when you can't even kneel? You got to sit. Like, I'm not even going to kneel. I'm just going to go over here and sit on the bench. Like, how lazy are you That's the part of this also that is, you look at what Bruce Maxwell just did, the stuff that Colin Kaepernick has said, as well as what has been going on now with Michael Bennett, who, by the way, is another guy that sits. He doesn't even kneel. When you cry wolf, we once again stop tuning to you and listening to what you're saying. Don't tell us that you're being persecuted or that you have done something or any of this other stuff. No. No. Colin Kaepernick had probably one of the best upbringings that any human being, black or white, could possibly have when he was adopted. Like, he went through the system in an amazing way and became a much better person for it. Now, if he wants to use his platform to be an activist, that's awesome. Do it, man. Go for it. But then you look at things like Michael Bennett and what he said happened in Las Vegas. Now you see what Bruce Maxwell is starting to say because of what he says happened in Huntsville. If you keep lying, then again, we're going to stop paying attention to you. And quite frankly, when I turned it over to Monday Night Football the other night, I heard them talking about kneeling and protesting before the Monday Night Football game. And my first thought is, we're still doing that? Like, nobody's even paying attention to you.
Well,
like,
even nobody's paying attention. Though, and this is what gets to me, because I always ask the question of why. Why would he lie about it? And I think it really goes back to this. There is this romanticism of victimhood that we have in this country, to where you're almost, it's something desirable to be victimized by somebody because we don't have any real problems because we're so well off in this country that we have to invent our own problems. And so I think that this guy, which I hate to say this, but it seems to me that he just wanted so badly for someone to feel sorry for him, which is probably why he does the protest in the first place.
You know what it is? It's that goth kid that grows up in the family that lives in the $300,000 home, and he's like, oh my God, my life is so horrible.
The whiny kid that acts
out.
Wait. Poor little rich kid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you talking about? You drive a brand new Jeep. 2 years old, thank you very much. And you know how hard it is to get the oil changed on that? Like, the sound system won't even play my emu music properly. Like, you're going, what are you? You are literally creating. Like, I love my niece. I love her to death. She's my favorite. She's one of my favorite family members that I have. But I have a niece now that is one of those. It's like, my life is so horrible. And I'm going, what are you even talking about?
Well, and that's what ticks
me off.
You
have both of your parents. They're married. They love you. They make great money so that you can have the ability to go do whatever you want. You're wearing $300 shoes on your feet that you're not going to be able to wear next year because you're still growing. Like, please tell me how your life sucks.
Well, that's what ticks me off about the whole social justice warrior mentality, is that they basically all react to every problem like a 13-year-old girl. There are no small problems. Every tiny little thing that happens to them is the worst thing that has ever happened in the history of mankind.
Yes.
We had that interview the other day with Jackson, and he was saying that, well, you know, moving from picking cotton balls to picking footballs without any freedom, that's kind of a lateral movement. I'm sitting here like, these guys are millionaires.
Picking footballs without freedom?
Yeah, you can walk away if you want to.
What an idiotic statement.
That is the most idiotic thing he's ever said.
That's an insult to people who actually went through slavery.
Well, see, and that's the part that I go back to is that I do not sit here and see the connection. And if is it if it's the whole factor,
you don't
the fact
see the connection because it's not there.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, if you're telling me the only connection is there's rules and there's things that you can't do, even though you want to do them, that is called society. Look, I'm gonna go ahead. Caleb.
Yeah,
you cannot cuss on these airwaves now. If you were somebody that just loved to cuss, and you'd be like, it's my God-given right to say whatever I want to. No, you cannot cuss on these airways. Well, fine, then I quit. Oh, my, I am so sorry that you can't do this job anymore because you can't follow the rules that could get you in trouble and fined.
Well, that's the thing. You don't owe me the job.
No.
Now, I have the right to do it, but
yes.
That does not guarantee that I have the job, and that's what people don't understand here.
Right now, and I use it for a connection right now, if Jalen Hurts, who is the starting quarterback of the best football team in the country, if he woke up today and said, Coach, you know, I just don't love the game anymore. I want to go back to Texas. I want to help my family. I want to, you know, I want to be with them. I want to help them grow. I want to get a job and just, you know, I just want to start a family. Nick Saban is not going to make sure that he's tied up in the locker room until he can't leave, and then have security standing around the football field whenever he runs out onto the field to make sure that he's there. It's
right.
It's not going to be like the Longest Yard where they're going to have snipers in the building if he decides to walk out. No,
That's not how that works.
No, he could literally leave this very moment. Now, is he going to get some mean tweets? Yeah, he's going to. Jim McElwain gets mean tweets, and he's one of the nicest guys in the world. I mean, he hasn't done anything to anybody except coach a football program, and he's getting death threats right now. Please, tell me how your life is horrible because we're paying you at the least $500,000 to go out and play a football game. Please tell me how your life is so horrible.
The thing is, there being consequences to your actions does not equate slavery.
Well, and we go back to what we were talking about with Yasiel Puig and Aroldis Chapman.
Exactly.
Okay,
they live through actual tyranny.
Yes. You look at Orlando Hernandez, about LeVon Hernandez. We forget about him. He's the one that actually got here first, before Orlando Hernandez did. LeVon Hernandez goes and pitches for the Florida Marlins, wins a World Series in 1997, and because he wins, his brother is literally persecuted in that country, no longer able to play for Team Cuba, no longer to have his job, no longer to do anything, because it was his brother that got on a boat and left to go to America and play. So Orlando Hernandez risks his life to get out of that country because he was being persecuted for what his brother did. Oh, please tell me how your life is so bad.
I think at this point, everybody could just take a beneficial breath of air and say, you know what? We do have it pretty good in this country.
It's such an ungrateful society.
It really is, and I think because of that, we're, like Maxwell is, just inventing problems to complain about when really we've got it pretty good. Chaplin's Report is coming up next.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers. Before we do that, though, I do want to tell you about our good friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. They've been in business here in Montgomery for 50 years. There's a reason for that. They're good at what they do. They offer great service at a great price. Doesn't matter what you need, whether you just need a new set of tires, maybe you need your oil change. I actually have some gauges. I got to go check. I'll probably check them out either today or tomorrow because something's wrong with my truck. And I always take my truck there because I trust them. I know they're going to do a good job because they've been here as long as they have. They've done a good job with my truck with everything that I've thrown at them. They always get it right the first time. So go by and see my friends at Woodham Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center for any needs that you have, large or small, with your vehicle. Check them out on the Troy Highway today. That's Woodham Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. Now, Jesus, there's this one particular episode in Luke where Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees because they're trying to trap him and they're trying to catch him in his words, something that'll turn the people against him. You can tell that at this point in his ministry, Jesus is a little bit fed up with it by the way that he's saying this. So let's look at Luke 11, 42 through 44. But woe to you Pharisees! You pay the tithe of mint and rue of every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it. See, this is what Christ is saying. You're so concerned with keeping every little minute detail of the law that you're neglecting people that are actually in need. You're neglecting to understand what the law was supposed to teach you. You're real cautious about making sure you get exactly the right amount of mint and all these herbs and all these little bitty details, that you're completely missing loving your neighbor, working on getting justice done, following the law, that you're ignoring the big picture. And he's saying you've really completely missed the point of what God was trying to teach you by asking you to do those things. You shouldn't have neglected those, but you should have also done this. And then there's a response here to Jesus. One of the other people in the crowd brings this up. This is Luke 11, 45 through 48. One of the lawyers said to him in reply, "Teacher, when you say this, you insult us too." But he said, "Woe to you lawyers as well,
For you weigh men down with burdens that are hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, you blind, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them. So you are the witnesses who approve of the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed them and build their tombs. Now, I love this introduction here because it's almost comical. The lawyer's saying, Jesus, don't you realize that when you say that, you're insulting us too? He says, yeah, let me insult y'all for a second, because you're not exactly living high on the hog either. You're not living the way that God recommended that you do this. You see, what Christ was upset with them about is they were using the law of Moses to hurt people instead of help them. The Pharisees, they were tasked with keeping purity in Israel. They knew the law of Moses. They knew the Torah. They studied this thing night and day. That was their job. Same thing with the lawyers. They were supposed to be experts in the law. They were supposed to use that to help the less fortunate, to help be a champion of justice. And they're using it to enrich themselves. And that's why he gets so frustrated with them. He's saying, you know the word of God. You know how much God loves you. You're supposed to be the people that are a living example for those around you. Act like it. And this is the thing that he's having such a hard time to get through to people. He says, yeah, there are people that don't know as much about the law as you. Don't belittle those people. Don't take advantage of them. Help them. That's what the law was designed for. This goes back to something that Christ said often in his ministry, which is, if you've been given a lot, give a lot. You think God blessed you with all these things so that you could use it as an excuse to complain or exploit people? That's not what the Word of God was designed to do at all. And you're the people who, when I sent prophets and tried to say, hey, you guys are getting this wrong, you killed them. You're not God's people. You're doing the opposite of what God wants you to do. It's so easy for human beings to miss the mark. It's so easy for us to get so self-involved that we just want to, whatever we feel is due us or whatever it is, that we miss the point of God's word. And we have to be careful as modern Christians not to fall into the same trap. Christianity is not about just not being bad, but it's about doing good. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11. Only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.